Chapter 44. The next few days, I trained on ships that felt sluggish, commonplace, distinctly inferior beside that transcendent time in Embot's cockpit. It didn't help that we were using heavy fighters, Largo class, which were armed to the teeth with destructors and even some IMP missiles. After that, we moved on to Slotra class fighters, which were more like glorified shuttles or cargo ships than true starfighters. They carried multiple shield igniters that worked in concert to constantly keep a barrier going to protect particularly important cargo or individuals. While they had their place, both these models were too bulky to outrun or outmaneuver Krell. That was why most pilots flew Poco class or Fressa class. Fast ships capable of going toe-to-toe with the speedy Krell interceptors. Even when practicing on a relatively fast Fressa, every turn, every boost, made me think of how responsive Embot had been. It left me wondering, was it finally time to tell the DDF about him? He'd abandoned me. His programming was obviously broken, so I'd be perfectly justified in sending a fleet of engineers to the cave to disassemble him. It was only a machine. So why couldn't I do it? You have free will, I had told him. You can choose for yourself. Watch it spin, FM said, pulling me back with a jolt. I'd banked too close to her. Scud. I needed to keep my attention on my flying. Sorry, I said. It occurred to me that there were drawbacks to having trained on simulations, where we could blow up and simply be reinserted into the battle. I might have developed some bad habits that could bite me now that we were flying real ships, with real consequences. We ran through a few complex exercises in a three-ship formation, taking turns on point. Finally, Cobb called us back to base.
Spin and FM, he said. You're both better on smaller ships.
Aren't we all going to be better on them? Jorgen asked. We've been training on Pocos for months.
No, Cobb said. You look like you might take to a Largo.
He's saying you're slow, Jorgen, FM noted. Right, Spin? I grunted my reply, distracted by thoughts of Embot, and my father, and Hurl, and memories of those eyes surrounding me, like Cobb had warned, and Scud. It was a lot to try to carry all at once.
She likes it when I fly slowly, Jorgen said with a forced chuckle. Makes it easier for her to crash into me if she wants to.
Even after all these months, he still brought up that time I'd won by crashing into him. I cut the line, feeling ashamed, frustrated. We started our flight back for the day, and annoyingly, the direct line from Jorgen turned on. As flight leader, he could override me turning him off.
Spin, he said. What's wrong?
Nothing.
I don't believe that, he said. You passed up a perfectly good opportunity to make fun of me.
I wanted to talk to him. I nearly did, but something held me back. My own fears, perhaps. They'd prevented me from talking to Rig when I'd found out about my father, and had prevented me from telling Cobb, even still, about what I'd seen. My entire world was crumbling around me, and I struggled to hold on to it, clinging to something I'd once been able to rely upon, my confidence. I wanted so badly to be who I had been, the girl who could at least pretend to take it all in stride. Jorgen cut the line, and we flew to Alta in silence. Once there, we went through proper sound-offs and landed.
Nice work today, Cobb said. I've got permission to give you an extra half-day leave to prep for the graduation in 2 weeks.
I pulled off my helmet and handed it to my ground crew member, then lethargically followed her down the ladder. I changed out of my flight suit by rote, barely talking to FM, then shoved my hands in my jumpsuit pocket and started wandering the DDF grounds. Half a day off. What did I do with it? Once I'd have gone back to work on Embot, but not now. That was done. And while I'd written to Rig to let him know, covertly, that the initial flight had worked, I hadn't told him that the ship had shut down. I was worried he'd insist on turning Embot over to the DDF. I eventually found myself out in the orchards, right outside the base wall. but the serene trees didn't offer me solace as they once had. I didn't know what I wanted anymore, but it certainly wasn't some trees. I did notice, however, the line of little hangars near the orchard. One was open, revealing a blue car inside, and a shadow moving about it as Jorgen fetched something from the trunk. Go, a piece of me insisted. Go talk to him, to someone. Stop being afraid. I stepped up to the front of the garage. Jorgen closed the trunk of the car, then started, surprised to see me there.
Spin? He asked. Don't tell me you need another power matrix.
I took a deep breath. You said once that if we needed to talk to someone, we should come to you. You said it was your job as flight leader to talk to us. Did you mean it? He looked down.
Spin, I copied that line out of my handbook.
I know. But did you mean it?
Yes. Please, what's wrong? Is it Arturo leaving?
Not really, I said, though that's part of it. I folded my arms around myself, as if trying to pull myself tight. Could I really say this? Could I voice it? Jorgen walked around the car, then sat down on the front bumper.
Whatever it is, I can help. I can fix it.
Don't fix, I said. Just listen.
Okay.
I walked into the garage and perched on the bumper beside him, looking out the gaping front hangar door, up toward the sky and the distant patterns of the debris field. My father, I said, was a traitor. I took a deep breath. Why was it so hard to say? I always fought against the idea, I continued. I had convinced myself that it couldn't be true. But Cobb let me watch a recording of the Battle of Alta. My father didn't run, like everyone says he did. He did something worse. He switched sides and shot down our own ships.
I know,
Jorgen said softly. Of course he knew. Had everyone known but me? Do you know about something called the defect? I asked.
I've heard the term, Spin, but my parents won't explain it to me. They call it foolishness, whatever it is.
I think it's something inside a person that makes them serve the Krell. Is that insane? My father suddenly joined them and shot down his own flightmates. Something must have happened. Something strange, that's obvious. Learning I was wrong about him has shaken everything I know. Ironsides hates me because she trusted my father and he betrayed her. She's certain I have the same flaw inside me that he had and has been using sensors in my helmet to test it somehow.
That's stupid, he said. Look, my parents have a lot of merits. We can go to them and...
He took a deep breath and must have noticed the expression on my face.
Right, he said. Don't fix, just listen.
Just listen. He nodded. I wrapped my arms around myself again. I don't know that I can trust my own senses, Jorgen. There are signs my father exhibited before he switched sides. Signs I see in myself.
Like what?
Hearing sounds from the stars, I whispered. Seeing thousands of spots of light that I could swear are eyes watching me. I seem to be losing control of everything in my life. Or maybe I've never had any control in the first place. And, Jorgen, that's terrifying. He leaned forward, clasping his hands.
Do you know about the mutiny aboard the Defiant? He asked. There was a mutiny?
He nodded.
I'm not supposed to know about it, but you hear things when you have the parents I do. During the final days, there was a disagreement about what the fleet should do, and half of the ship rebelled against the command staff. The rebels included the engineering crew.
My ancestors, I whispered.
They're the ones who flew us to Detritus, Jorgen said. Caused us to crash here, for our own good.
But
there is talk, whispers, that the engineering staff was in collusion with the Krell. That our enemy wanted us pinned down, trapped here. My ancestors were from the Defiant science staff, and we also sided with the mutineers. My parents don't want people knowing about the mutiny, They think it will only cause divisions to talk about it. But maybe that's where this silly talk of a defect and mind control by the Krell started.
I don't think it's silly, Jorgen, I said. I think it must be true. I think that if I go into the sky with the rest of you, I could turn against you at any moment. He looked at me, then reached out and rested his hand on my shoulder.
You, he said softly, are amazing.
I cocked my head.
What? You, he said, are amazing. Everything about my life has been planned out. Careful. It makes sense. I understand it. Then there's you. You ignore my authority. You follow your feelings. You talk like some Valkyrie from a scudding ballad. I should hate you, and yet...
He squeezed my shoulder.
And yet, when you fly, you are amazing. You're so determined, so skillful, so passionate. You're a fire, Spin. When everyone else is calm, you're a burning bonfire. Beautiful, like a newly forged blade.
I felt a deep warmth rising inside me, a heat that I wasn't prepared to feel.
I don't care about the past, Jorgen said, meeting my eyes. I don't care if there's a risk. I want you to fly with us, because I'm damn sure that we're safer with you at our side than not. Mythical defect or not, I'll take the chance.
Ironsides thought something similar about my father.
Spin, you can't base decisions about your future on something we don't understand.
I looked back at him, meeting his eyes, which were the deepest brown, but with hints of light gray at the very centers, right around the pupils. I'd never noticed that before. He let go of my shoulder suddenly, leaning back.
Sorry, he said. I went straight into fix mode instead of listen mode, didn't I?
No, that was fine. Even helpful.
He stood up. So, you'll keep flying?
For now, I said. I'll try not to crash into you, except when strictly necessary. He smiled a distinctly un-jerk-facey smile.
I should get going. I have to go get fitted for my graduation uniform.
I stood up, and we looked at each other awkwardly for a second. Last time we'd had something nearing a heart-to-heart, back on the launch pad, he'd hugged me, which still felt weird. Instead, I offered a hand, which he took. But then he leaned in close to me.
You aren't your father, Spin,
he said.
Remember that.
Then he squeezed my shoulder again before climbing into his car. I stepped back and let him drive off, but then found I didn't know what to do next. Return to base for some PT? Hike to Embot's cave, where he sat lifeless? What was I going to do with leave? The answer seemed obvious. It was past time for me to visit my family.